coming. We appreciate you joining us tonight for our Christmas program. And I'd like to begin, by the way, I'm Terry Post. I'm the pastor of Wheatland Baptist, and we are delighted to have you with us, you who are visiting and are turning to hymn number 199, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, 199, and let's sing with our hearts to the Lord, thanking him for what he has done in giving us his son who came into this world to die for our sins. Let's go ahead and stand together, 199. Hand. We thank you, Lord, for this time of year when we can celebrate and glory in the coming of the Son of God into this world to be born of a virgin, that he would grow up as a man and yet as God in one body, the perfect man, the God-man, who was sinless, spotless, and yet who would become sin for us, who would bear our sins on the cross. Thank you for the coming of the Son of God into the world. Lord, we ask your blessing upon our evening tonight. We know there has been preparation for this, but now, Lord, may you be glorified in it all. So bless our time together, and we thank you for the privilege of gathering together. In your precious name, we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. We are going to begin tonight with the young people singing some songs. So few specials, and then we're going to have our play, our cantata. So whoever's next.
Thank you.
Olivia. We really enjoyed that. And young people, thank you for singing. And this time we're going to go to a community, maybe somewhere in the South, where the folks think their preacher maybe is, well, just sticking his nose in business, and he shouldn't be, and he gets to meddle it a little. So we will, at that time, enjoy that. And by the way, I appreciate all of you who are visiting tonight, and we want you to know you please be our guest for some fellowship afterwards. We will have some light refreshments right after our program tonight. So with that, we will begin with Then Jesus Came.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And God created man in his own image. But man utterly rejected God's authority and plunged the entire human race into the prison of sin and death. And death dwelt upon the face of the earth. Dear Lord, have mercy upon us. Send us a Savior. Send us Emmanuel. and God made me and breathed into my nostrils the breath of life, and I became a living soul. But I utterly rejected God's authority and plunged myself into the prison of sin and death to dwell in darkness forever.
Hello? Hello? Lindsay, are you there? Hello?
You don't need to yell, Tilly. I ain't deaf, you know. Leastways not since I got my new hearing aids. What's on your mind?
Oh, Lindsay, my joints are a-killing me, and it's only November. I won't be able to move by the time Christmas gets here. My guess is that our little city of Forest Grove is headed for another record-breaking winter. Ooh!
Could be, Tilly. Trees did turn mighty early this year. Reckon it'll be as bad as 42?
Oh, my goodness gracious, I hope not. That was a doozy. Lizzie, tell me now, what do you think of this new parson we got?
Well, if you ask me, Tilly, That wife of his is awful pretty. Maybe a little too pretty for a pastor's wife. But I guess he seems like a pleasant enough sort of fellow, maybe a mite young.
Young? Ha! Huh. Grandpa Billy says he's fresh out of Bible college. And you know what that means?
What?
He ain't got no experience. No experience at all. Why, he's practically a babe in arms, still wet behind the ears. And you and me both know they don't make preachers like they used to.
Well, I'll be, you're right, Tilly, and to think we're entrusting the keeping of our precious souls to that whippersnapper. Why didn't we think of this before we voted him in?
Well, it takes time to think some of these important matters through. Rome wasn't built in a day, don't you know? But don't you fret none, honey. Grandpa Billy has run this town for 40 years. He'll keep a tight leash on that new pastor.
Winters in the small town of Forest Grove were bitterly cold, and so were the townspeople. Mountains of powdery snow piled up everywhere. The cutting, icy wind drove most people into sort of a frustrated hibernation around their old pot-bellied stoves. Except for an occasional trip to Grandpa Billy's general store, most folks stayed inside and communicated by telephone. Temperatures often plunged below zero. But inside the one lone church of Forest Grove, the temperature was below zero all year long. Pastor Jeff Thompson had just arrived in town with his wife Ellen and his six-year-old son Timmy. Pastor Thompson was earnestly seeking God's blessing on his first pastorate and was eager to get started that first Sunday morning.
I can't tell you how thrilled I am to be your new pastor. I've looked forward to this day for a long, long time. I just can't believe that it's finally here. You have my word that I will do my best to be a blessing and a help to each one of you as we work together to bring more folks into the kingdom of God. And now, I have a special announcement for all you kids out there. Most of you know that my wife Ellen plays the piano, and we'd like to start a new children's choir next Sunday evening, immediately after the service.
George.
Yes, Grandpa Billy. And the name is Jeff.
Jeff. Oh, Jeff. Sorry.
That's okay, sir. Did you want to say something?
Well, I was just a-thinking, we ain't never had no children's choir around here before, and I don't know as we ought to be starting one right soon. Sounds like a pretty big undertaking, if you ask me.
Oh, don't worry, Grandpa Billy. You won't have to do a thing. My wife and I will do all of the work. Ellen plays the piano, and I'll teach the kids some songs. It'll be wonderful for the children. They'll put on the Christmas pageant.
Now, and you just hold your horses there, sonny boy. Remember your place. I learned a long time ago, these things get way out of hand in no time at all. Well, you just give me some time. I'll get the deacons together. We'll talk it through.
But, Grandpa Billy, what could possibly be wrong with teaching the children some Christmas carols?
I ain't necessarily saying it's wrong. It's just, we ain't never done it that way before. Thank you.
The piano in the church had seen its better days. Some keys were falling off, and others wouldn't play. But when the church replaced it, Sister Susie cried, "I don't believe it sounds as sanctified." Sunday choir rehearsal always met at 6, but when the pastor changed it, he got in a fix. One member stood and cried, "This choir is such a bore that if you make it longer, you're gonna start a war."
The children were disappointed they couldn't start the children's choir right away, and so were most of their parents. But no one had the courage to oppose Grandpa Billy. Besides, everyone was certain the idea would be approved by the deacon board eventually. After all, what reasonable deacon would vote against having a children's choir?
Lizzie, did you hear?
Hear what?
The deacons finally got together last night and voted on the children's choir.
Well, it's about time. Pastor Thompson wanted to start that children's program 5 weeks ago. Why should Grandpa Billy care about any old children's choir anyway? As soon as he sits down in the church house, he falls asleep. What happened at the meeting?
Grandpa Billy just told them he didn't believe in children's choirs, and that was the end of it.
You mean they didn't even vote?
Now, remember, Lizzie, dear, Grandpa Billy and his father built that church house of ours with their own hands, one board at a time. Grandpa ought to have a say in what goes on.
You're right, Tilly. If Grandpa Billy's against it, then I'm against it, too.
Amen.
Pastor Thompson's troubles were just beginning. He tried to start a Wednesday night prayer meeting, but the deacons voted it down too, mainly because Wednesday nights was the same night Grandpa Billy and his cronies had played dominoes for 20 years. And as Grandpa Billy put it, playing dominoes is religion in action. Then Pastor Thompson asked if he could install lights in the church basement to try to provide much-needed Sunday school space. But Grandpa Billy opposed him on that, too. As Grandpa always said, "Can't be too careful with the Lord's money." Then people began noticing a strange phenomenon. Every Sunday, Grandpa Billy was staying awake for a little more of the church service. And it wasn't because he was enjoying what he heard.
And in closing, we see that Nicodemus seemed to have everything going in his favor. He was both a Pharisee and a member of the Sanhedrin. I guess you could say the Sanhedrin was something like our deacon board. Nicodemus was recognized as one of the outstanding spiritual leaders of his day. And yet, Jesus told him that being a leader in the church just wasn't good enough. Nicodemus needed to be born again. Born completely over by the Spirit of God.
As the service came to a close, even the children were whispering about it. Grandpa Billy had stayed awake for the entire service. As soon as the final amen was pronounced, Grandpa Billy made a beeline for Pastor Jeff.
Good to see you, Grandpa Billy.
Same to you, I'm sure. George, let me give you a little advice.
Oh, I can always use some good advice, sir.
Now, don't you go trying to sweet-talk me, sonny. We ain't sleep out there in them pews, you know.
I'm sorry, sir. I didn't mean to.
You just keep this evangelism stuff out of the morning service. You're even trying to sneak it into Christmas. Now, it might be all right for you to use on them youngins in Sunday school and such. but I don't want none of it in the pulpit.
What do you mean, sir?
Your sermons are getting way too preachy.
What do you mean, sir?
Well, like this, sonny. I'm gonna tell you. Me and just about everybody in this here church was baptized before you was knee-high to a June bug.
I realize that, sir, and I certainly respect their...
Well, then why do you keep on ranting and raving about sin and salvation and such like we was a bunch of heathen? I don't want none of that in this here pulpit.
But...
You just need to stop before you confuse some of these old-timers with all this born-over stuff.
But, Grandpa Billy, all I did was explain the story of Nicodemus from the Gospel of John.
Ain't you been a-listening to me, boy? That's pre-exactly what I've been a-talking about. You need to stay away from this Gospel of Nicodemus and all them other wildfire books you've been getting these harebrained ideas from. We don't allow nothing but the Bible in this here church. The Bible, I say, it was good enough for my grandfather, and it's good enough for you. Understand?
I think so.
I hope so. For your sake.
Amen.
Lord, I confess that sometimes I wonder why you brought me and my family here to Forest Grove. Everything I do is wrong. Everybody's against us. And yet, you said in your word, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Lord, I'm going to fast and pray for the next 3 days and plead with you to send me one man, just one man, who will love you with all of his heart. Lord, please.
Thank you.
3 days later, Pastor Thompson was on his knees praying when he heard a muffled knock on the front door. "This is my answer," the young pastor thought, as he literally jumped to his feet and ran for the door. Only one obstacle stood between the racing reverend and the answer to his prayer. That was one of his son's stray roller skates, which had been carelessly parked right in the middle of the hallway. As the racing reverend came around the corner, suddenly, without warning, his left foot flew east, his right foot flew west, and for one frantic moment, Pastor Thompson was completely airborne in angelic flight. However, it wasn't long before the laws of gravity regained control of the situation, and Pastor Thompson came in for a crash landing on the coffee table and the hardwood floor. Moments later, and only half conscious, Pastor Thompson dizzily surveyed his makeshift landing strip. The coffee table was broken in four places. There was a sharp pain in his left shoulder, and his throbbing right leg was curled up under his body where he knew it shouldn't be. Ellen was at the grocery. Timmy was at school, so there was no use in calling for help unless the answer to his prayer was still waiting at the door. Pastor Thompson painfully tried to lift himself up on a nearby chair.
"Come on in. If anyone's out there, the door's open. Come on in."
"Hey, Preach."
"Oh, it's you."
"You were expecting maybe Santa Claus?"
It isn't that I'm not glad to see you, Bobby. It's just that I was expecting somebody else."
"What's that blood on your face? I bet you've been in a fight, haven't you? Whoa, wait till I tell the guys about this. They'll never believe it."
No, Bobby, I wasn't in a fight. I just stepped on one of Timmy's roller skates as I was running to answer the door. Do you think you could call old Doc Forsyth for me? I think my leg is broken."
In a state of shock, jaw dropped, eyes bugged, and brain in neutral. Racing through his 13-year-old mind was the possible headlines of tomorrow's newspaper. "Bobby Simpson, modern-day superhero, saves pastor's life." Suddenly something snapped inside Bobby's brain, and he bolted from his trance and ran for the telephone as though mere seconds separated the pastor from eternity. However, unfortunately, Bobby didn't see the broken coffee table. After clumsily tripping and flying through the air, the full weight of Bobby's 110 body came crashing down on the suffering pastor's poor broken leg.
"Oh, Bobby!"
"I'm sorry, Preacher. I'm sorry. Why do these things always happen to me? Oh, where's that phone? Operator, this is an emergency. Tell Doc Forsyth to come over to the pastor's house in a hurry." "What? He's delivering the thorned old baby? Well, the preacher's bad hurt. We can't wait. Tell that baby to get a move on. And hurry, or my Grandpa Billy is going to hear about it."
"Well, I guess we're going to be here for a while here. Care to sit down, Bobby?"
No thanks."
"Well, what brought you over here this afternoon?"
"Oh, nothing."
"Oh, you can tell me."
"Oh, just wanted to talk."
"Well, I'm not going anywhere. Let's talk."
"Oh, you don't feel like talking now."
"I'll be okay. Now, tell me, what's bothering you, Bobby?"
"It's just that, remember last Sunday when you were talking about Nick somebody?"
"Nicodemus."
"Yeah, that's the guy. And you told how he came to Jesus one night, remember?"
"Yes."
And you said that Jesus told him he had to be born over again?"
"Yes, Bobby, that's right. Go on."
"And you said that being born over was asking Jesus to come into your heart to forgive your sin and everything. Isn't that what you said?"
Yes, Bobby, that's what I said, all right. Have you ever done that?
No, I haven't, preacher. I'm a sinner, a bad sinner. Like the time I sprayed itching powder all over Miss Norton's fur coat.
Bobby, that wasn't very nice of you, was it?
Then there's the time I cooked the Barton's cat in Mom's microwave.
Bobby?
Then last week I snitched all of the cookies out of the boxes you were getting ready to send the poor folks for Christmas.
So you're the one?
Yes, preacher, I'm the one. I reckon I must be about the worst sinner that ever lived. What should I do, preacher? What should I do?
Oh, Bobby, those are the most beautiful words I've heard ever since I came to Forest Grove.
Preacher, I've got to get born over.
Well, why don't you repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you and ask Jesus to come into your heart right now?
Do you think he'd listen to me?
I'm sure he would, Bobby.
Lord, you and me are the onlyest ones who know all of the terrible things I've done. I'm awful sorry, Lord. Thank you for dying on the cross in my place. Now please let me get born over and live for you from now on.
Dear God, thank you. Your ways are so much higher than ours.
Bobby Simpson, the 13-year-old town pest, had been the terror of the whole community. Then Jesus came, and little Bobby would never be the same again. As he rose to his feet, he threw his arms around the pastor's neck and whispered, "He came in, just like you said." As their tears flowed, Pastor Thompson kept remembering a scripture verse he'd been reading that morning. "Great and marvelous are thy works. Great and marvelous are thy works."
Thank you.
That's right, Lizzie. When old Doc Forsythe arrived at Pastor Thompson's house, it looked like a tornado had struck. Why? The pastor was half dead. His leg was busted in two places. And Grandpa Billy's grandson was down on his knees a-praying. What do you make of it?
I don't rightly know, Tilly. Do you suppose that pastor wrestled Bobby to the floor and made him pray?
Could be. But if that's what happened, Pastor Thompson was lucky to come out of it with just a broken leg.
Well, maybe breaking his leg was some kind of a wild-eyed religious ritual that the pastor performed on Bobby.
Sounds awfully suspicious to me. I'll bet you 10 to 1 they was a practicing some kind of Bulgarian voodoo.
I don't know what they was a-doing, but I do know one thing. Bobby ain't the same boy. His mother told me he practically turned into an angel overnight. It minds his folks most all the time and even tries to be kind to his bratty little sister.
And my nephew told me Bobby is even peddling his religion at school, trying to get all of his friends saved, as he calls it. I don't like it.
Well, I wonder if that preacher's wife had anything to do with all these strange goings on. I told you she was too pretty for her own good. I do know one thing, Grandpa Billy ain't going to sit idly by while some renegade preacher tears his town apart. He's got plans.
Have you been working the switchboard again, Lizzie?
Yep. And yesterday afternoon, I overheard Grandpa Billy telling his domino partner that if this heretic preacher didn't settle down, he was going to boot him plumb out of the state.
Is that so?
Yep, and some of Grandpa Billy's words weren't none too religious.
Really? What were some of them?
Well, you know, of course, I wouldn't normally repeat such language.
Oh, don't you worry, Lizzie. I won't tell a soul. I ain't never been one to gossip. No how.
Well, all right. You won't believe what he said. I even wrote it all down so I wouldn't forget nary a word.
As Christmas approached, there seemed to be a strange sense of division taking place in the Forest Grove Church. Bobby had led several of his friends to Christ, and several of the other students were coming home and asking their parents what it meant to be born over, as Bobby called it. Rumor had it that old Doc Forsythe had gotten saved one night after church in Pastor's house, one Sunday night. And some of his patients said that Doc claimed to be working for a new boss, someone Doc called the Great Physician. The result was a new boldness in Pastor Thompson's preaching.
The Bible says that all our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags in God's sight, and because of our sin, we are not worthy to enter into God's presence. But there is one who is worthy, and this is the heart of the Christmas story. God sent his little lamb to Bethlehem to be in that manger, to shed his blood for all mankind. No, we're not worthy, but we can place our trust in the Lamb of God because worthy is the Lamb.
Thank you. I, John, your brother and companion, was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And I heard a voice say, come, come up hither, and I will show you what must be in the future. Then I saw a book sealed with seven seals, and I heard a voice, a loud searching voice, ask, who is worthy to open the book? And no man in heaven or on earth or below the earth was found worthy. And I wept much because no one was found worthy to open the book.
Finally, on December the 23rd, the inevitable happened. Pastor Thompson, as well as every other church member, received a mimeographed letter from Grandpa Billy calling for a church-wide business meeting at 12 o'clock noon on none other than Christmas Day. Pastor Thompson tried to get in touch with Grandpa Billy, but Grandpa refused to talk with him. In fact, Grandpa Billy had not shown his face in church since his grandson met the Lord.
Lord, it looks like it's about over for me here at Forest Grove. Work in Grandpa Billy's heart. I love these folks here. I guess maybe I'm just not cut out to be a pastor after all. But Lord, you're still in control. If it can please you, please work a miracle in our little church. I need you. Oh, Lord, I need you.
Oh.
It's 7 a.m. Pastor, on Christmas morning, Pastor Thompson plugged in the lights of the little tree, called Timmy and his wife Ellen beside him, and read the Christmas story. It had been a long night. Pastor had prayed all night long that God would somehow work a miracle in the lives of his little flock. As noon approached, people began pouring into the Forest Grove Church. It had never been so packed. Little children were being shoved into the nursery, dragging their new toys behind them. People were being seated on either side of the aisle, depending on whether they were for or against Pastor Thompson. Lots of extra chairs had to be set up on the negative side. As the organ played softly, there was an eerie sort of feeling began to settle over everyone. It was as though they were gathering for a funeral. Pastor Thompson's funeral. At 11:59, Pastor Thompson and Ellen slipped in through a side door and took their seats. And then, at 12 o'clock sharp, in walked Grandpa Billy, the man whose word had always been final in Forest Grove.
Friends, relatives, fellow members, I think you know why I called this meeting. These past few weeks, people have been making religion their whole life, claiming to have been born over, my grandson calls it, claiming they wasn't even Christians, even though they was baptized right here in this very church. And this preacher, right here, is the man responsible. I have in my hand a letter of resignation for one pastor, Jeffrey E. Thompson, stating that effective tonight, December 25th, he hereby resigns as pastor of Forest Grove Church. It only lacks his signature, and I brought this paper up here for him to sign in our presence so we could all be witnesses. I have a better idea. Bobby, why don't you come up here and tell these folks about my new plan?
Since me and Pastor Thompson are such good friends, Grandpa told me to take this here letter of resignation and hold it up for everyone to see. Then Grandpa told me to take it and tear it up into itsy bitsy pieces, just like this. Because, Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas, Pastor Thompson. Grandpa Billy got born over, just like me, born over on Christmas Day.
Grandpa Billy, did you really get saved?
Well, Pastor, it's like this. I just couldn't sleep last night. I kept wondering, what if what's happened to my grandson is for real? So, got out my father's old Bible, and I begin to read. I found that story of Nicodemus. I didn't even know it was in the Bible. And I read it over and over again. I read some other parts too. Pretty soon, I began to realize how wrong I'd been. Then, about 5 o'clock, the doorbell rang. Bobby. He had walked all the way over to my place through the snow just to tell me that he loved me and that he wanted me to ask Jesus into my heart too. So we got down on our knees and he showed me how to ask Jesus into my heart.
Amen.
I've been carrying a load of sin on these old shoulders for 75 years. I've been a Then Jesus came. He took my sin away.
Amen.
I've been a cantankerous old fool for way too long. Pastor, can you ever find it in your heart to forgive me?
Of course I forgive you, Grandpa Billy. I'm just so thankful that you're saved. You've made this the happiest Christmas of my life.
Okay. What started out to be a meeting to barbecue the preacher, God transformed in a glorious revival service that lasted for over 3 hours. Nobody who was there would ever forget it. Nearly half the congregation came forward and said they wanted to get born over, just like Bobby and Grandpa Billy. And you know what? Pastor Thompson is still the pastor. How he loves his people, and my, how they love him. What happened? Well, it was sort of a repeat of what happened about 2,000 years ago in another small town thousands of miles away. The world was lost in sin, and the situation looked hopeless. Then Jesus came.
So you're going to really be disappointed. No. Well, when I was trying to get everybody to stay seated and they're standing, I lost my note somewhere. But anyway, wonderful message in that. Oh, by the way, since it was below zero almost every day in the winter, maybe that didn't take place in the South. Okay? But one of the songs talked about our being bound in the prison of sin. We were chained and we were without hope. And then Jesus came. He came into this world. We read that when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem them that were under the law, and that we might receive the adoption of sons. Jesus came to redeem. That's what Christmas is all about. He came into this world born of a virgin as a perfect Son of God in order that he might go to the cross and die the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God for your sins and mine. And it's only by being born over, born again, as Jesus himself said, you must be born again or you cannot see the kingdom of God. The Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By grace are you saved through faith. So no amount of works that we can do will satisfy God. Only faith in the shed blood of his perfect Son who died on the cross for you. Only Jesus can save. And unless and until you trust Jesus, you will not be able to spend eternity in heaven with our Savior. But the promise is that whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish eternally in the lake of fire, but have everlasting life. I hope you know him. I hope you've trusted him as your Savior. And that's what this program was all about, is to seek to honor him. By the way, we didn't tell you ahead of time, but this was just another rehearsal for us. So in case we flubbed up, that's why, right? Okay. I would like to say, give a special thanks to everybody involved, for the guys running the sound and the lights, Randall and Jeffrey. Thank you so much for your work, and for everybody in the choir and the cantata and the people doing the play. Didn't they do a great job? I tell you, they were all right. Even that young preacher boy. Boy, it's amazing what getting born over will do for you, right? It knocks about 40 years off your life. So anyway, you all did a great job. And a special thanks to Nancy and Charlotte. Nancy Gay is in charge of the drama, the actors up here. And if they did a good job, it's because of Nancy, right? No. But we want to give her a lot of credit. She, a lot of patience, a lot of perseverance, a lot of time and practice, and kind of keeping us going. And we thank her for that. We want to thank Charlotte for all her many hours that she has put into working on this, and her patience with us and long-suffering and helping guide us through. So she was both our pianist and our director. And that's not easy to pull off. So anyway, we want to thank them, and we want to say thanks by giving them a little something. So from the cantata, choir, and drama, a little gift for you, and then a gift of appreciation for Nancy. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And it's not perfume. I forget what it is, but anyway. I know. You're disappointed now. I shouldn't have told you. So anyway. Okay, thank you so much, everybody. Thank you for coming. At this time, we would like to dismiss and have some refreshments over here in the dining area. So we have some cookies and things for you to enjoy. So take time to join us and fellowship together. And again, thank you so much for coming. Let's have a word of prayer, and we will be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the message of the gospel and the good news that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He came into the world to save me and all who will put their trust in you. Thank you, Lord, that we can be saved simply by believing, by relying upon Jesus Christ. We pray your blessing now upon our time of fellowship. We thank you for each one who has brought something to share tonight. And we pray your blessing upon our fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.